Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
On the phone right now is Mia Rusev. She's a case therapist at Northwestern Medicine Central DuPage Hospital. Mia, how are you today?
I'm great, Lisa. Thanks. Thanks for having me.
Oh, thanks for being on. So just tell me, what is a case therapist? What's your regular day look like?
Well, I have a number of different jobs. I work at Central DuPage Hospital. I am an outpatient counselor, so people are kind of used to that title. And then I'm also a crisis assessment specialist in the hospital. And so I do a quick assessment on folks and then help them get to the service they need. So sometimes I refer to outpatient, sometimes I refer to inpatient.
Boy, that's tough, because usually if you've got a patient like that, there's family members there, and they're only they're adding to the stress a little bit. I completely get it. I'm so thankful for Central DuPage Hospital. My mom spent the last 5 days of her life there in March, and the crew was amazing. There's a nurse, Emily, and you know, when hospice kept saying, "Your mom's waiting for something. Your mom is waiting for something," and I'm like, she'd only be waiting for her dog. And the nurse overheard that, and she pushed the paperwork through. My mom, I ran home, got my mom's dog. The dog laid on her bed for 3 hours, and 2 hours after that, she let go. It was at that point she had had a massive stroke, and she was suffering from a brain tumor, so there was no returning back to regular life. So the fact that you know, she could go peacefully and have her companion animal that she loves so much be at her side meant the world to me. So a big thank you to the crew at Central DuPage Hospital, and their stroke unit there is fantastic as well. So I'm excited to talk to you, because I have a 20-year-old son. He's a college kid, but I do have a lot of, you know, friends who have 30-year-old kids who are really stressed and burnt out right now. Did I just call 30-year-olds kids? That's crazy.
Yeah, right.
I'm embarrassed I said that. I wish we could rewind this, but
it does say something about our own age.
Yes, it does. Darn it. one in particular is my godchild, and she has a high pressure job in Chicago, and she has worked through the pandemic, and she has worked from home, and she is very stressed and very burnt out. And and what are the characteristics? Like, I mean, that's how she calls it. That's how she identifies it. But how would you, if you're a parent and you're talking to your child who's working in a similar job, what do you look for to say, you know, this is a true case of burnout?
Yeah. That's very loaded. There's a lot there to
take. Okay. Just what's the identifying factors that you are burnt out?
So I would think definitely a lack of energy. So all you're doing is working, and then that's all the energy you have for anything else. I think that's one of the key things. And then after that, I think physical signs like stomach aches, headaches, interrupted sleep, appetite changes, those are the next things.
And what do you do about it? How do you manage it? Is it chronic?
Yes and no. I think if you intercede and put some changes in place, especially for people working from home. I know I see clients who have, and my own husband works from home, and there is no delineation between work and home life, and it all runs together, and there is no like drive back home. And that is really tough on people. It's just like the monotony over and over. It's like Groundhog Day. So if you can kind of separate your work and home life, even whether it's a drive out in the park, go for a walk, take the dog for a walk, and then come back in and start fixing dinner. So there's a delineation between the two. I think that's helpful for some folks, especially that are working from home.
I think that is a great tip, because you're right. You feel like, oh, dinner's not on the table yet. Let me go back and see if I got a few more emails. There's no stopping point, you know, where if you remove yourself from that, like you said, replacing that drive home, that probably would give you a fresh perspective.
And just last night, I had a gentleman tell me that he is tending to work later in the evening because he's at home and he can go jump back on emails and stuff. So I think you need to give yourself a hard stop, too.
Absolutely. I see that a lot of people who have worked through the pandemic, worked at home, are feeling like the company doesn't value them as much. Obviously, we're dealing with worker shortages. There's better offers to entice new people to come to work at any given company. And the people who have been there working through the pandemic kind of get the attitude like, well, we kept you employed during this pandemic. You should be thankful. Does that lead to burnout, or is that a factor where you just feel like they don't value you?
Yeah, I think not feeling valued certainly is a factor that makes burnout happen. There's also certain services that don't get appreciated. It's part of the job to not be appreciated.
Right.
And those like emergency room staff generally aren't appreciated. Mental health workers generally aren't appreciated. And they have to really focus on other things so that they don't get burned out. So similarly, when you feel like your manager maybe isn't, you know, they're thinking, well, you should be happy you have a job.
Right.
I would say, you know, why is there, are you putting too much emphasis on your own fulfillment in your job? Maybe you need to kind of spread it out a little bit, and your worth is more than your role as an employee.
I get it. So are you seeing an uptick in people who are burnt out? Does that come across? Is that any of the cases that you deal with? Or is this just something that as a professional you're talking about and discussing among your peers?
I think both. I do see clients that have more stress because of the pandemic, or more.
It's a burden, you know? I mean,
yeah, and it is
burnt out. Speaking of that, so tell people how to manage the fear of COVID, because some people still have a very deep-seated fear of COVID, and now they're being told come August 1st or September 1st, you've got to come back into the city, and you've got to come back into a building and use an elevator and an escalator and a parking garage. And for many people, there's a deep-seated fear. How can you manage that? Do you have any techniques that will help people relax as they return to work?
Yeah, I think, you know, one of our basic human instincts is survival. And we have been, all of the high alertness, you know, all the death, and we have been trying to protect ourselves. So that is all very normal and helpful. Now that we're getting changes in the directives, it's like, wait a minute. What about my health? What about my safety? And I think we need to keep in mind that there are different things in place to keep us safe. So there might be, you know, capacity limitations. There's increased cleansing and increased hygiene. Those kinds of things are certainly going to decrease the risk of spreading, or you know, any kind of contagion.
The minute I get out of the parking garage, there's hand sanitizers and you know, notes about safety. And before I let you go, mental health illness or dealing with mental health issues on the rise for everybody across the nation right now, correct?
I think that's definitely a true statement. Yeah.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, we are paying more attention, which I think is a fantastic thing. Mental health is just as important as physical health.
Absolutely. Well, great to talk to you. It's Mia Russev. She's a case therapist at Northwestern Medicine Central DuPage Hospital. I appreciate you joining me on WGN today.
Thanks a lot, Lisa. Have a good day.